Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And thank you for joining us here on this midweek broadcast. I am Jerry Escher, filling in, delighted to be with you. And I'll just start real quickly by asking you if you would be so kind, continue to pray for my sister. As you may know, I live in Southern California, but I'm in the Seattle area right now. My sister, about 10 or 11 weeks ago, had a cancer diagnosis, and it has just rushed upon her, and they haven't even been able to treat the cancer due to liver and kidney problems, and her kidneys failed the other day, and so they're kind of doing a last-ditch dialysis attempt today, even right now as I speak. So I would ask all of you to continue to pray for her, as I do always for you and your intentions, especially for all who are suffering in any way. So thank you so much. My sister's name is Mary. If you would remember her in your prayers, we'd be grateful for that. We're going to be talking about pro-life today. In the second hour, it's a pro-life open forum. You can call and ask any questions you want about pro-life issues. And really, it's more or less the same thing here in the first hour, but we have Joe Scheidler with us, and he's got a brand new book out that we're going to be talking about, and his work with the Pro-Life Action League. He's the founder and national director. Many people refer to Joe as the godfather of the pro-life movement. He really has been active in pro-life affairs since Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision in 1973, which effectively condemned millions of unborn babies to their death. So if you would like to call in today, this hour we're going to devote to looking at the pro-life movement then and now. Where have we been as a pro-life people? Where are we? And where are we possibly headed in the pro-life movement? So feel free to join us. If you've been active in pro-life and you just want to share your take on that, it's 888-318-7884. If you want to just ask Joe his thoughts on some of the things that you're involved in terms of pro-life activities, or if you just are wondering what his thoughts are on where we're headed in terms of being a pro-life nation and culture, 888-318-7884. Joe, welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Good to have you back.
Well, thanks, Jerry. I'm so sorry to hear about Mary.
Oh, thank you.
Certainly. We'll keep her in our prayers. And we have a chapel here in our office with the Blessed Sacrament. We have Mass. And so we have a prayer box. And I'll put Mary in there right away. So she
thank you.
Our prayers.
That's very kind of you, Joe. Thank you. It's been a tough situation for us here,
and
we appreciate the prayers of everybody. And well, Joe, you've got this new book, "Racketeer for Life: Fighting the Culture of Death." Sort of a little playful self accusation there, maybe based on the lawsuit that was brought against you. You are a racketeer for life. So tell us about your book.
Well, the book is a kind of a wrap-up of what we've done. I got active in pro-life in 73 as soon as the Supreme Court ruling came down, and I read it. It just read like a death sentence to all the unborn. You know, we all know scientifically that life begins at fertilization, at conception, and there's no beginning of life somewhere during the pregnancy. I mean, it's already begun. And yet the Supreme Court, in its sweeping Roe v. Wade, and especially the Doe v. Bolton decision, simply took away any rights at all for the unborn. Any woman can have an abortion for any reason at all at any time in her pregnancy. And that just outraged me. I thought, here's my country. I was in World War II. You know, I'm loyal to our country, and I think we're the greatest country in the world. And then our Supreme Court, by a fiat, wipes out a whole class of people as non-being, as being totally unimportant. So I quit a job. I had a pretty good job as an account executive for a public relations firm here in Chicago. And all I could do was read about abortion and check out the pictures of the baby, you know, the different stages of development and so on. And finally, my boss, who was a fellow Notre Dame grad, said, Joe, I think you're losing interest in your job here. He said, why don't you go full-time pro-life? And I said, well, how do I make a living? He said, well, you've got some PR background. And so I did. They kept me on their insurance policy until our daughter was born. And, of course, that was another reason I was furious about the Supreme Court ruling. My wife was halfway through her pregnancy with Kathy, and I realized my little daughter had no value in the eyes of our government. So anyway, I stayed on until the baby was born, and they paid for the insurance for that, and then I went full-time, and I've been full-time ever since. And it's a big battle, and we're making gains, but we've still got a long way to go.
Well, I want to talk about that, making gains, and we'll get into that here as the show unfolds, Joe. But a reminder again to you who are listening, we're looking at the pro-life movement then and now. I mean, the pro-life movement, you could say, hopefully we would like to think began at creation, and certainly, you know, in the time of the institution of the church, but we find ourselves locked in a battle right now. So whoever would like to join us, it's 888-318-7884. I have a copy of your book, Joe, and you dedicate it to your wife, Anne, who you say led you into the pro-life movement. And then you say also for Monica, and it says here, who gave me hope in the darkest hours of the battle. Describe those dark hours for us.
Well, you know, there would be times when we would be at the clinic and they would come up with some kind of a ruling that would bubble zone us about 50 feet away from any of the women coming to the clinic. And the police would come, and I don't know how many times I was arrested and taken away in a paddy wagon simply for being in front of an abortion clinic, trying very peacefully to talk to these women going in for abortions. And so there were times when it seemed sort of a fruitless, you know, because you had so much opposition. But I would call Monica Miller, who wrote The Abandon, which is Denise D'Souza calls it the greatest pro-life book ever written. I think it is. In fact, I say in my book that her book is better. But she was she teaches theology. She's been a pro-lifer from the beginning, and we're just extremely good friends. And I would just give her a call, and we'd sort of cheer each other up because we both are doing the same work. But she is just a true friend. And that's one thing I found in the pro-life movement. You know these people immediately, these pro-life people. We all think the same. We all believe basically in the same thing. And we have a deep respect for human life. And so there's an immediate camaraderie with pro-lifers. But Monica goes all the way back to the beginning. I knew her when she was still in school. And she would come out to the abortion clinic, and we would counsel women together. So we're just real good friends. So that's why I thought I'd dedicate my book to her, because also she dedicated her book to me.
Catholic Answers Live with Joe Scheidler. He is a pro-life warrior. In fact, as his book is recently titled, A Racketeer for Life. If you'd like to get on the program, 888-318-7884. We'll take your calls in a few minutes as we're looking back and hopefully forward in the pro-life movement. Let's take that quick glance back here, Joe. And how was the overall support in terms of, I mean, you were passionate about this, you felt led, called by God, you had encouragement to get into this. As a whole, Catholics, the church, people of goodwill, I mean, was there a groundswell of support along with you when you got into this?
Well, I wouldn't call it a groundswell. There people were interested, and most religious people knew abortion was wrong. But there were too many people, I think, who said, well, it's the Supreme Court. You can't change them. It's the law of the land, and we won't have an abortion ourselves. But they didn't see that they could do something about it. And I went first to the Archdiocese here in Chicago to see if they wanted me to work for the church. And the priest there, who was in charge of the Respect for Life group, said, well, you're a little too ambitious, and you know, you're in too big a hurry. The church moves slowly. So I think it was good advice. He said, you better do this on your own. So I really did. We had cooperation. We had Bernardine Cody first, and then Bernardine, and then Cardinal George came along, and he was fantastic, very pro-life, and very would come to all of our give speeches and talks and so on. But we don't depend on any particular religious group. Our organization, even though we're mostly Catholic, we also work very closely with evangelicals, and I just found that it's mostly the Catholics and the evangelicals, and there are other church groups, but not as a whole. Most of your Protestant churches support abortion, and it,
right.
It seems strange, but that's just a fact. But the evangelicals, and of course many of them over the years, Jerry Horn, and I could just go through a whole long list, have become Catholic through the movement. It's had an influence on them because, you know, we kind of, in my book, I mentioned, you know, I asked the question, why are so many of your leaders in the movement Catholics and evangelicals? And Catholics, I believe, find it easy to believe that there's a full human being there when a woman's pregnant because we're able to believe things you can't prove, that you can't see. You know, we believe that this little white wafer is Jesus. We really believe that. And to be able to believe that, it's not much of a jump at all to believe that a woman, the moment she's pregnant, is carrying a child who has a total value of any other human being.
Well, Joe, we're just about to the break. We can cover a lot more ground as the show goes on. We got a lot of calls to get to as well. I just would like to maybe take a look forward through your eyes, what you see. You've been through a lot of, let's say, you know, administrations in this country and the rise of the pro-life movement, and probably has had ebbs and flows and ups and downs, a lot of discouragement. Some people feel like we've lost the battle. As you look ahead now, are you confident? Do you feel that the progress has been made and will be made?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We've made a lot of progress. For one thing, there were over 2,000 abortionists back when they got started, like in the late 70s. And now there are fewer than 700. There were, I forget how many, like 1,800 clinics. That's down in below 1,000. And there aren't as many, almost nobody now is afraid to say that abortion is taking a human life. Alabama just came down with a ruling, one of the courts there, that this is a human being from the moment of conception. And the whole attitude, for instance, even in your advertising, they would always say this may cause harm if you're pregnant. They'll say now this could hurt the baby, you know, in your ads. People are seeing the humanity more than they did. And it's true that now we have a kind of a new hope because with Trump's election, hard as it was to vote for him, he's picking some very good people. This Kellyanne Conway that you know helped him with his came in and kind of salvaged his campaign is a very strong pro-life person, and we used to meet with her every 3 months in Washington. And Pence from Indiana, the governor, is very pro-life, and he's given us a list of Supreme Court justices, lawyers that he would appoint to the Supreme Court, and they're pretty good. So I'm very optimistic, and I see it when we go out to the clinic. We've converted an awful lot of abortionists. I've had six conventions here in Chicago with just former abortionists.
Wow.
Tony Levitino, and of course, we had, I've got a list of people who either did the abortion or ran the abortion clinics, and they've come out, and MacArthur Hill from Colorado, and I could just go on and on with a whole list of people that have come into the pro-life movement from being abortionists. And I told Bernie Nathanson one day that, you know, I said, you wiped out a city, 70,000 abortions. And he said, Joe, it's so terrible that I can't even allow myself to think of what I did.
Mm.
He said, I might become suicidal. You know, it was because abortion was so bad. And here was a man that was doing the abortions, even aborted his own child. And yet he was one of our strongest pro-lifers. And he told me, anytime you need me to give a talk, to attend a meeting, Give me a call. I'll come out on my own, no charge, this whole thing. So, you know, we've converted so many former abortionists that that's a very positive thing, besides the fact that abortions are down from 1.5 million to about 800,000, which is still enormous, but it's a gain.
Yeah. Good stuff. Joe Scheidler is with us here on Catholic Answers Live. We are going to get to your calls right around the corner here. Just got to let you know, January is Sanctity of Life Month. We're grateful for Joe and his time today on the program. And for the entire month of January, Catholic Answers is making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, available for only $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. So you can check out that at the shop at Catholic.com or go to 888, call 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000, or again at Catholic.com. And don't forget Joe Scheidler's new book, Racketeer for Life. That's going to be available in all of the places where you find great books. And we're going to come back and take your phone calls for Joe when we continue here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a very special offer for all of you who are interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as possible involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. I wrote this book specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others, to help you to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 1:29, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew, where Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with fever. He approached her, and as he took her hand, the fever left her, and she served them. After sunset, the whole town was gathered at the door, where he drove out demons and cured the sick. Early the next morning, while he was at prayer, Simon and the others came to him with the words, "Everyone is looking for you." He responded, "Let us go to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come." Not only did he preach throughout Galilee, but he has visited you and me. He is preaching to us at this very moment, through the word his church has made available to us. Everyone matters to him. No one has a fever that he doesn't know about. Everyone is looking for him, even if they don't know it. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Jerry Usher filling in today, and as you may have heard, a new full-time host of Catholic Answers Live coming soon, so keep your radio dial tuned right here. It's been a real honor and a blessing to fill in these last couple months. We have Joe Scheidler with us today, and we are talking about the pro-life movement then, as in going back 30, 40 years, the pro-life movement now, where do things stand, how do things look, what's the shape of the pro-life movement, and we got a little snapshot from Joe before the break, what he sees kind of as the future unfolds here. So if you have any questions about any of that, if you've been involved in pro-life work, maybe you have just dedicated years or decades of your own life to this work, feel free to join us in the conversation. 888-318-7884. To your calls, Andy is first in Belleville, Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live with Joe Scheidler.
Hi there. I wanted to call because I had years ago been involved in the pro-life movement, and I just got so discouraged because I felt overwhelmed with the media and everything. And then recently, a friend showed me a video by Ray Comfort called 180. and he was in a public square somewhere speaking with young people and old, and most of them didn't even know what the Holocaust was. They didn't know who Hitler was, and he proceeded to talk to them. Of course, a lot of them were pro-abortion because they felt a woman had a choice, and he got them to the point where he asked them to finish a sentence. It's all right to kill a child in the mother's womb, when? And many of these young people were just stumped. And eight of them went from being pro-choice, believing it was a woman's choice, to being pro-life, and just convicted that there is no answer. And Pope John Paul II said that the only way we're going to end abortion is one by changing one heart at a time. And when I heard that this man's website was heartchangers.com, I just really felt convicted that I needed to get back on. I've always prayed about it and supported financially, but there is hope. But we do have to try to do that, change one heart at a time. I had my son, who's become an atheist and a pro-abortionist, come over. I said, come on, just watch. It's a 33-minute video. Watch it with me. He acted like he wasn't moved, but I trust the Holy Spirit to move him. And I went ahead online and I ordered the DVDs. They're $1.50 a piece. And they have business cards that have the website and that little square that you can put your phone up to and watch it. You can watch it on YouTube, but it's called 180. And I believe it can do what Pope John Paul II said, was change one heart at a time. And I just wanted to encourage you to look at that and please try to pass that on. And I also listen to the American Family Association radio. I don't agree with everything they say, being Catholic, but I feel that if pro-life Christians would come together, that we would have the strength in numbers there, too.
So that's Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, you make a lot of good points. And, you know, the graphics are absolutely essential. That's how I got in the movement, by seeing the Life and Death that Jack Wilkie put out. The picture of the babies on the back of the brochure are in a bag, a black plastic bag from a hospital in Canada. They're late-term abortions. But one of the little babies in that bag looked like my son, Eric, in his baby picture. And it became very personal to me. But we do have to see it. And, you know, like you're saying, these kids these days don't really know their history very well. I'm constantly watching Fox News. They'll go into the public square and ask the most simple questions, like you say, who was Hitler? They don't even know. They don't know about the World War II and all that. And they don't know about the unborn child. But they can learn, and many of them convert on the spot. I remember one girl at the clinic, I just said to her, I don't want you to have this abortion. She said, well, what business is it of yours? And I said, well, I think it's my business. Let's go talk about it. And within, I'd say, 15 minutes, she was totally pro-life and going to have the baby. We just have to reach them. We have to be out there, and we have to be able to present in a very lovable way the pro-life message.
Yeah. Andy, thank you so much. Great contribution to the program today. We greatly appreciate that. And we've got Maria in Houston, Tim in Cincinnati, someone you may know, Joe, and another Joe. Joseph is on the line as well. 888-318-7884 is the number to call. I just wanted to make a mention that the video that Andy was talking about, you will find it at 180180180movie.com. It looks like it's about a 33-minute video. It's got some great endorsements on there. And let's see, it says the hottest movie on the internet. Well, and it says 33 minutes that will rock your world. So if you are undecided, or maybe you know someone who is a little wavering, or just is pro-choice, pro-abortion, if you would ask them to do you the favor of spending 33 minutes to watch this video, or to read Joe Scheidler's book, Racketeer for Life, lives and hearts can be changed and babies can be saved. 888-318-7884. Feel free to join us. More of your questions coming right up.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live. Was the early church Catholic? Apologist Matt Nelson tells you why to be deep in history is to cease to be Protestant in the latest issue of Catholic Answers Magazine. It's 2017, a time of new beginnings, and we're doing our part by bringing you lots of great articles to build up your faith. Now is the time to subscribe to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or going to Catholic.com. With engaging new articles by some of the top Catholic thinkers today, from Carlo Broussard looking at the doctrine of free will to Kenneth Hensley with tips on evangelizing the atheist. This is another great issue chock full of great articles to inform and build up your faith. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
What does it mean to say that Scripture is inspired? Why don't Catholics believe that the Bible is the sole rule of faith? Do Christians have to follow all the strange and archaic laws found in the Old Testament? 20 Answers the Bible offers a truly Catholic perspective on Scripture, showing how it harmonizes with God's revelation in sacred tradition and with the teaching authority of the Church. 20 Answers the Bible is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Your phone calls continue here on Catholic Answers Live with Joe Scheidler, who is the founder and national director of the Pro-Life Action League. Before the next call, Joe, what is your website so people can find out the work that the Pro-Life Action League is doing there in Chicago and far beyond there?
It's just info@prolifeaction.org.
Okay, prolifeaction.org would be the website, and info@ if people want to get a hold of you. Okay, Maria, thanks for waiting patiently through that break there in Houston, listening to Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Maria. You are on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi. So I have a question. I'm a foreigner that just recently relocated to the U.S., and I was a pro-life back in my home country. But here, I see a process with pro-lifers in the U.S. that I'm not used to and I don't understand. So I've been meaning to ask this question, and I really don't know where to go or who to ask. So I thought I should just bring it up. The question is, every time I see pro-lifers, they take, like, prayers or protests out to the abortion centers. And I keep wondering why that doesn't happen in the churches. Like, we get to pray for aborted children, and then we pray for conversion of the abortionists, and we do all of that at the churches. But why is it that it's taken to the abortion centers here in the U.S.? And I'm also wondering if that's not a violation of any sort. But I'm all confused. I just needed, you know, some clarifications.
Why do we go to the abortion clinics to pray? It's partly, you know, 40 Days for Life took off a couple of years ago. David B. Wright, his idea was to go to the abortion clinics and just stay there for 40 days around the clock. And it took hold because that's where the crimes are committed. And we just wonder, what if people had prayed outside the concentration camps and had swarms of people there and stopped the trains from getting in that were loaded with the people to be executed? I mean, we have to go where the crime is committed to pray that will end. And as soon as we found out where the abortion clinics were in Chicago, we started going there. The other thing is, too, you make your conversions there. It's the last chance that the woman going in for an abortion can be talked out of it. You're right there. And if she sees you praying, it's amazing how many people you don't even have to talk out of an abortion because they made some kind of a promise. it runs certain, and they said if I see anybody there or if anybody tries to dissuade me from the abortion, I'll take that as a sign. We had one young woman that came out of the abortion clinic because one of our prayers was praying a psalm that she had read that morning before she went in to have her abortion, and she took that as a sign that God didn't want her to do that. So you go where the crime is committed in order to talk the women out of committing that crime.
Is that helpful, Maria?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's helpful. But I'm wondering, is there that isn't any violation? Because that's just the conflict that I always have with myself. Like, am I not, is that not intruding or is that not violating any sort of, privacy? So, I don't know.
The abortionists try to make it that, but we, as long as we have public sidewalks, they're public. We can stand on the sidewalk. They may tell you have to keep moving, and some of the abortion clinics are built way distant from the public sidewalks. I know Planned Parenthood has done that. In some cases, they've bought a large plot of ground, and they've put the clinic so far away that you can't really reach the young woman going in for the abortion. But for the most part, if it's a public sidewalk, you can be on it, and if that's the way people have to come. Now, a lot of clinics will also have a parking lot that is far enough away from the pro-lifers that we can't really talk to the women. So they try all kind of tricks to keep us from talking to them because they know how effective we are. But in this country, like here in Chicago, we have a bubble zone. And nobody understands it, but it says you can't approach a woman closer than 50 feet if she doesn't want to talk to you. Well, how do you know if she wants to talk to you until you get up closer? And then it says if she wants to talk to you, you have to say 8 feet away. It's kind of confusing. The police don't understand it, and so we don't pay much attention to it. But they do... The abortionists try very hard to keep us away from their clients because they lose money.
All right, Maria, I hope that help is helpful to you. Thank you very much for your call to Catholic Answers Live. We're going to continue on over to Cincinnati. Tim is listening to Sacred Heart Radio. Hi, Tim. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing? Joe, this is Tim Scheidler from Cincinnati. How you doing?
Tim, I'm great. It's good to hear from you.
Yep, it's good to hear your voice again, too. I've met you several times.
Yeah, remember the fun we had down there in Cincinnati with the Face the Truth tour?
Yeah, that was wonderful.
How many clinics did we go to?
You guys down again.
Yeah, we'll come.
But I remember when Monica Miller put the dinner on to honor you, and I got to get up to that. And the funny thing is, you know, the first thing I got off the elevator and I'm looking around and all of a sudden this woman comes off the elevator, looks at me and goes, "You, go stand over there and direct everybody into this room." I'm like, "Yes, ma'am." And that was Monica Miller.
That was Monica. She's a bossy young lady, isn't she? Monica's great.
Only time I've met her, but she made an impression. And, I had the same thing happen to me that you did. I was converted by the same thing. You know, when I was 12 going on 13, it was the summer of 73, and I was actually pro-choice. I bought the arguments that they had handed out.
I can't believe it.
And I was at the county fair, and Cincinnati Right to Life had a booth there, and I believe Dr. Jack Wilkie was manning the booth. And I went up and was asking questions, and I looked at the brochures that he had there, and I took some, and I saw, you know, the pictures, and I immediately did a 180. I'm like, this is not a clump of cells. This is a child.
Right. Well, you know, we were having dinner one time. There were about six pro-life leaders. We met here in Chicago at a little restaurant called Monasteros, and I just asked around the table, how did you get in the movement? And every single one of us, it was through the pictures. Every single one of us had been brought into the movement by seeing what they're killing in abortion. And so we blow the pictures up. We have the large pictures. We go out on the highways in the face of truth tour, and we'll stay an hour and a half at a certain spot.
I held one of them.
I know, Cincinnati.
Yeah. You know,
well, they're doing it all over the country.
Well, Tim, sharing a last name with Joe cannot be a coincidence. I would not presume. Are you related?
We are second cousins once removed.
Okay.
Eric is my third cousin. I'm hoping to make it to see them at the March for Life. And my nephew, who is a staffer with a major congressman, is married to Mike Gilkey's wife. And I just read page 353 of your book yesterday or the day before, and all of a sudden I saw Gilkey Windows mentioned.
Oh, yes. Yeah, somebody threw, one of the abortionists threw bricks through our windows. And so I immediately called the press because, you know, any news is better than no news. And so they came and took pictures of the windows, and Gilkey in Cincinnati read about it and came and not only replaced the broken windows, but put new windows in the entire house for free.
Wow.
He's a good man, and I will say one other thing, Joe. I am proud to have you in my family. You know, I've done my little bit. I've worn my T-shirts. You know, I've got my car. My car is a rolling bumper sticker for pro-life. And, you know, I've got a young godson who, you know, is always grabbing a bumper sticker and saying, okay, where can we fit this? You know, but you have really paid the price, and you're one of the true leaders, and I am so thankful that you're in my family.
Well, read my book.
Promote the book, Tim. Thank you, Tim, for the call. It's great to hear from you on Catholic Answers Live. Why don't we take our third and final break this hour? We have another hour of pro-life open forum. Any and all pro-life questions coming up in the second hour of Catholic Answers Live. Joseph, you're going to be next in New Jersey. Ed, we'll get you on as well in Kearney, Nebraska. The number is 888-318-7884. Joe Scheidler is here. His new book, Racketeer for Life, Fighting the Culture of Death. That is published by TAN. Joe, is that getting out to all of the big bookstores and Catholic bookstores and online and so forth, I presume?
Yeah, little by little it is. You can order it from Amazon now or from TAN or from, if you order it from our office, I'll sign it for you. And I'm going to have a booth in Washington, D.C. during the March for Life, and I'll have a couple hundred books there.
Well, excellent. Thank you, Joe. Hang on during the break here. When we come back, more of your calls about the pro-life movement then and now, today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Catholic Answers' annual campaign is almost over. We've raised much of what we need to enter the coming year in a strong position, but we still need to raise more. This is Catholic Answers' most important fundraiser of the year, and there's still time for you to help. Your response to the campaign will determine how much apostolic work Catholic Answers can do in the next year. To make your donation, just go to Catholic.com and click the annual campaign banner or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the annual campaign banner at Catholic.com or call toll-free at 888-291-8000.
We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. Jimmy Akin is here to help. His innovative new book, A Daily Defense, takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. and St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. If you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, be sure to join me on Wednesday, January 18th at 7 p.m. at the Georgia International Convention Center as I debate Professor James White on the topic, Can Christians Lose Their Salvation? For more information, check out the Catholic Answers Facebook page and join us for what promises to be a great time as we openly discuss this highly debated issue.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
I mentioned how to get Joe Scheidler's book, Racketeer for Life. Also, again, want to just keep you aware of the fact that during Sanctity of Life Month, which is the entire month of January, Catholic Answers is offering Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue. That's by staff apologist Trent Horn. 70%, actually, you'll save over 70% on the book right now, just $5 a copy. And you can get yours by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or calling 888-291-8000. Trent has spent years and years really out, like Joe does. He goes out to have discussions and friendly debates and sometimes even hostile environments. And Trent just gives you some great tips on how to keep your cool and be persuasive when you talk pro-life. So get a hold of Catholic Answers for that. We go to Joseph next in Freehold, New Jersey. Hi, Joseph. You are on with Joe. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do, Joseph. I do receive some of your mailings. And the lady mentioned that 180movie.com. That's an award-winning documentary. And I just want to mention two others if you can promote them. That was a Norma McCorvey, I Was Wrong. And if they can get them out to the buses that go to Washington, she tells you everything that was wrong with the system, how she was thinking, how she came back to the faith. And if your group could promote that, that would be a great thing. And I have one other one also, if you don't mind. Videos that changes minds on abortions. There's about 12 people on the video, and when they showed them that little video about a minute and a half, 3 minutes, they all changed their mind. They're going back to believing pro-life, period. All young people. I hopefully you've seen them and can promote them with your staff.
Joe, are you familiar with these?
I've heard of them. Yeah, we have a number of movies too. We have Meet the Abortion Providers, Abortion: The Inside Story, and the graphics are very, very important, and there are a lot of them out there now, and they do change hearts and minds. That's absolutely essential that people see what abortion is, Here, listen to the people that were pro-abortion that have become pro-life, such as Tony Levitino and some of these doctors, Byron Nathanson. There's no dearth of pro-life movies, and of course we support them all, and have made our own. In fact, if you call our website, and you can get all of our films right there on the your machine.
Okay, and again, that's prolifeaction.org. Is that, it's prolifeaction.org, yeah. All right, thanks, Joseph, for the phone call. Just before we get over to our next caller, Ed, in Nebraska, just quickly, I know you probably know Norma McCorvey well, but for those who don't, Joe, she was, if I have it right, she was the Roe, right, in Roe versus Wade. And very possibly, very likely, kind of corralled by the pro-abortion forces and more or less put up to the role of being the protagonist in the eventual Supreme Court decision. But she is obviously at a complete metanoia of her life, I believe, has come into the Catholic Church, if I'm not mistaken. And
yes, she has.
Is very pro-life. But, you know, the thing about this is, Joe, and this is, you know this well, you probably know better than anybody, you just don't hear about that. They used her to get the Supreme Court decision jammed through, and yet, you know, the one that they used, who really, it was built on her back, and she was probably, like I say, put up to it. You didn't make the evening news that I'm aware of when she turned around and became pro-life and especially became Catholic.
No, they disappear when they become pro-life. there are so many famous former abortionists that have become pro-life, and you don't hear about them anymore. They're not interesting. Yeah. Norma McCorvey was a witness at our trial, the RICO suit, and she was a winner. She was just terrific. But it was put up. She had a daughter. She never had an abortion. She had a daughter, actually, and she was trying to get in touch with her daughter, and somehow the people in Texas were able to get her into their case that brought about Roe v. Wade. And then Sandra Cano did not want an abortion either. She was trying to get a child back. And so neither of these women had abortions or even wanted abortions. But I think Norma did it at one point. But they were used. They were simply used to get this fake decision that has cost us about 58 million lives since 1973.
Absolutely amazing. All right, Ed, thanks for holding on there. Great to have you with us on Catholic Answers Live in Kearney, Nebraska. Hello, Ed. You're on with Joe Scheidler.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Joe, for all of your work. I've followed you over the years. I'm kind of a Father Paul Marx is probably the one that was really instrumental in getting me involved in the pro-life work, and I'm sure you remember him as the great champion for life.
What a man.
And I remember one of the things that he said, we'll never end abortion until we end contraception. And as a Catholic, I really do believe that's the hinge, and I'd like to have your comments on that.
Well, Ed, you know, Father Marx was one of the first pro-lifers I ran into. He was in Chicago, and they had the church was sponsoring a banquet, and hardly anybody came. So afterward, about six of us stayed, and I said, "Why do you think we're so interested in abortion and so many Catholics aren't?" He said, "It's a calling." And then he went upstairs. He had two little babies that were miscarriages, but he had them in bottles of formaldehyde, and he brought them down to us, and that was so impressive to see these tiny little human beings with fingernails and the whole thing. And Father Paul Marx and I stayed friends for a long, long time. We went to Africa together, to Cape Town and all Johannesburg and so on, and he was just tireless. We would be on the airplane, and in the middle of the night, and there would be one light on, and it would be Father Marx still writing and working. But contraception is the kissing cousin of abortion. For one thing, many, many of your contraceptives are abortifacient. One of their functions is to abort if they don't kill the sperm or prevent the implantation. They or impregnation, then they'll prevent implantation, and that's an abortion. But also, so many women having abortions say their contraceptives failed, and that's their excuse, because contraceptives do fail. But he's right. We won't really solve the abortion problem until we have taught people how bad contraception is, how unnatural it is. And, of course, in the Catholic Church, and anybody who believes in morality knows that it's also a serious evil, serious sin. So he had it right. Father Marx was a sharp man, and he really took this issue to heart and spent his whole life as an active pro-lifer. But he had his problems, too, with his other priests that didn't want to follow his position, which was the church's position. So it's a battle. It's a battle all the time. And so you just keep it up. You come in every day, and you do your radio shows and write your books and go out to the clinics and keep it up until your time comes to cash in. I'll be 90 in September, and I'm
going to
stay with this.
You sound young and vibrant, Joe, like you've got another 50 years ahead of you of this.
Well, I feel great. I have no physical problems hardly at all. I don't know what's wrong with me.
apparently nothing. Count your blessings. All right, Ed, thanks. For the sake of time, we've got to dash off here and see if we can help a couple other folks. God bless you, Ed, for your concern for this issue and for listening to Catholic Answers Live. Salinas, California is where we go next. Joe listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Hi, Joe. You are on with Father, with Joe Scheidler. Go ahead, Joe.
We got Joe another Joe.
Joe and Salinas. Are you there? Okay, let's try Emily in Howell, New Jersey, listening on Catholic.com. Emily, you probably will wrap up, for, at least for this first hour, our calls. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Right now I'm in a high school class for giving speeches, and tomorrow morning I'm supposed to give a persuasive speech. And for my topic, I chose to do pro-life, and I'm a little bit nervous, so I was wondering if you had any tips on what I should be saying.
Oh, well, you probably know. I mean, it's you're undoubtedly prepared to talk about the unborn child as a full human being and the dangers of abortion. And also, you know, there's a terrible psychological effect. I know so many women that have had abortions that are still grieving. And even from the point of view of self-infliction, eight times more suicides among women who had abortions than women who just have a baby. And I don't mean you don't necessarily want to scare your group, but we've got to tell the truth. And I would lean heavily on the humanity of the child and then the dangers of abortion to the women, and then what it's doing to society, this whole loss of respect for human beings. Look, here in Chicago, we had over 700 murders last year, 780-some. There's just a lack of respect. And recently, there were a bunch of kids torturing a young guy who was mentally retarded. And they cut him and beat him up. And, you know, we just lost respect for what it means to be a human being. And I think you'll do well. I've given lots of talks in schools, and then I'll ask the teacher, ask the kids next class how many of them are pro-abortion, and they'll call me back and say none of them.
Wow.
So good
How's
luck.
That, Emily? Does that help, Emily?
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much.
All right. We will
good
be
luck.
Praying for you. Thank you so much. Joe, we are out of time for your hour on the program. Folks, Joe and Salinas, we're going to try you again in a minute. And Olga and San Diego and the others, if you can hold on just a couple short minutes during the top of the hour break. Stephanie Gray will be with us, and she will answer any pro-life questions in hour number two of Catholic Answers Live. Joe, thanks so much. Hard to believe you're almost 90, and God has used you in powerful ways, and we thank you for taking a few minutes of your day to be with us on Catholic Answers Live.
Well, thanks, Jerry. I've enjoyed every minute of it. God bless
you. God bless you. You will find Joe's book, Racketeer for Life, at prolifeaction.org, and it's published by Tan Books. And also Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, just $5 a copy, savings of over 70% in the shop at catholic.com or by phone at 888-291-8000. So like I say, in the second hour, anything goes. Pro-life questions, contraception, abortion, end of life, euthanasia. We can talk stem cells, how to talk to your kids about life issues. Maybe you're like Emily and you want to be able to have an influence in a classroom or in your workspace or something. And I'm sure Stephanie can help you with any and all of those questions. 888-318-7884. Get on board right now.